The misty town in its peaceful darkness. A restful place. The secrets it hides are fairly benign. You've met at least one of them. And she left her business card. The misty town is actually a tourist attraction. An anachronistic village in a little valley where fog is common. Right over the ridge is a modern town. Gas station, mall, car rental place, taxi company and cafes, modern hotels. A bit disappointing, since it seems to detract from the authenticity of the local fabric. Still, this place is far from boring. The path you're on now is part of the atmosphere of the old town. It is a cobble path, with flickering streetlights in the distance. Paths go off into the woods on either side, and the trees cluster close. Branches overhead rattle in passing breeze. A naturally spooky place. The moon has just entered its third night at full. Silver light from overhead makes the green trees on the sides of the path look monochrome. The lack of many lights on this old path isn't a problem. It showed up as a shortcut on a local map. Hilarious, but still a scenic view. Plus, this is an amazingly warm night. Seems completely unseasonal. Yet it is invigorating in its own way. Even light clothing leaves you sweating a bit as you tread along the warm path. You have the address of the massage clinic where the young lady that visited you said she rents a room. She works there too, so maybe you can hire her for a soothing massage. Still, she proposed dinner, and she also said she doesn't have any inclination to bite you, which is nice. The light from overhead touches your skin. You imagine you could feel it trickling off of you. Cast a shadow on the path almost as bright as day. While there are trees to either side, the overhanging branches do not prevent the moonlight from absolutely filling the area around you. A version of the world more frozen in time, even than the sleepy village in the mist. Shot through with a silver light so beautiful that changing it, diverting it, moving on from it without first storing it in your memory for later, would be a tragedy of beauty. If you didn't pause to take it all in, you'd regret it. So you stop. Take the moment. Breathe deep. Feel cool air brush past on a surprisingly humid autumn night here in the woods. Your feet no longer crunching down the path. You can hear sounds you'd previously missed. Distant birdsong. Maybe some who have not migrated to warmer climates yet. And from behind you, a kind of faint, almost electronic humming. Very distant, but definitely there. Your body feels slower and more sluggish, but you are somehow able to turn. Purple light from over your shoulder distracts, because there she is. Light brown beret on dark brown long hair. Moonlight casting eerie colors. Sure, but she's peering across the top of her sunglasses at you. A curious feeling of suspension. A feeling of a vacant mind as the purple light sticks and washes over your brain. Honeyed words whispering that all is okay. Made all the more surreal by the moonlit glare on leaf and tree and path. And on the long-sleeved, off-the-shoulder black gown the vampire is wearing. She drifts along the path like something out of a fantasy or a horror movie. Which she is both. But the smile brings out the dimples in her pale cheeks, and she's not really floating, she's just fairly graceful. Her feet are on the ground, comfortable running shoes again. That gets rid of the ethereal eeriness of the moment. She pushes her sunglasses up, and you find yourself able to move more completely. She gets closer, It totally ruins her mystique. The hypnotic violet light leaves your mind, your eyes, the rest of the way. She put her glasses in the way, but it takes a bit for you to return to normal. In time to hear the crunch of tiny squeaking wheels on the path behind her. There's a large olive-green suitcase with a hard outer shell rolling along. She wheels it industriously until she's next to you. If you'd just keep walking instead of pausing to savor this night, I might have passed you by and stood you up. Was glad to get your call, though. Come on, detour. The vampire, not very tall, brown pixie cut, pale skin, the sunglasses to keep her power in check. Her sleeves hide the blue spiral tattoos you know are there, and the smile on her face makes just one fang visible, even when she closes her lips. A brown beret, lighter than her dark hair. You know there are freckles on her skin, in theory. But she's pale in the moonlight right now. The silver on her skin is memorable. Your acquaintance pulls the suitcase behind her, and pulls ahead of you on the path. Rather than walk the main drag toward the well-lit town, she turns off to the left, onto a decently kempt nature trail. She pauses, turns, gives you a fanged smile, releasing the suitcase. As if an afterthought, she extends her hand. My name is May. Nice to meet you. Finally giving her name directly. You know she's looking at you from behind the sunglasses. You can just see the outline of her eyes, but none of the piercing light. Extending your hand, shaking hers, feeling cool, smooth, flawless flesh. When she turns, separating her hand, her back is to you and you ask about the gown. Well, I'm going to be taking it off again. So I picked the thing that was easiest to slip in and out of. Plus, having it on means I don't need to put it in the suitcase. I can hang it up when I get there. Moonlight catches the shimmering fabric of her outfit, falling across white skin and black dress, the silver making contrast all the sharper. She plants her feet carefully. I'm going to have to get this place spruced up. You don't ask what she meant. Still turning her name over in your head. May. Seems she won't be coming to your room anymore. Probably for the best. That's why she packed up. The whole situation between her and her family is tense and weird. They could really do with some counseling. Thinking back to the time you spent in the shower, a pleasant aroused shiver does run through you. Maybe she'll reveal more of herself. As it were. Tonight. Anticipation rises in your body, but you quell it. You should let her lead. The realization has dawned. Having seen her in action a few times, she must be somewhat self-conscious. She's got control issues. She needs to lead. Needs to surprise. Needs to discomfort. She's gone out of her comfort zone a few times. She's really attached to that room. And the fact you've seen her be uncomfortable probably indicates some level of trust. And here she is. She's moved out. You weren't much of a catalyst for it, since she was inclined to get out of there before you arrived. But here in nature, far from the interruption and bustle of the normal world, this is what you came out here for. A refuge. A bit of an escape. A place to think and clear your head, and get on the right page. Any analysis of her mental state is lost to the ether when you see what she does next. The suitcase is pushed off to one side under a garden table. Clean, maintained, strange to see here in the woods. It's complete with umbrella. There are a bunch of folded, lilac-colored, fluffy towels on top of the table. The vampire begins to move. You see the cute figure in sunglasses and beret. She looks over her shoulder and slips her dress a little lower. While she's beautiful, There is more than just that tempting sight to take in. The two of you have arrived at a forested clearing, a circle devoid of any trees, so the full moon filters in from above. This place is open to the sky. There's a large hill on one side. You see some structure planted on top, but the moon makes it hard to maintain your night vision if you look up at it. Lit from behind with silver glory. No lights are on in that structure. The vampire's standing in front of something surprising. It's a bit amazing, really. You didn't expect to find this out here. A huge square swimming pool, cut into the earth, lit only by moonlight. It has little protective walls, and you can see a cover off in the distance there. Here in the forest, someone has gone to the effort to cut a natural-looking but well-maintained swimming pool into the earth. Fill it with water, cleaned and maintained. There are blue-green tiles deep beneath. It is quite large. A natural pond would be more appropriate to the setting, but you can tell from the slight steam rising, this pool is heated electrically. And indeed, there are signs, slight signs, of civilization. The hill is set about 150 feet back from the pool. A sheer hill, a smooth face on this side, but more gentle inclines on the others. A winding path goes past the pool, made of stones set in the earth, goes up the hill, positioned as you are at the opening of this clearing. The moon itself seems to top that hill. So I don't really spend much money, see, she explains. And the couple that lived here moved into a retirement place. I bought it off them. Nice people. May explains, but points up at the hill to focus your vision. There is a house. That's what the structure is. Sharply angled roof. Rough lumber look on the outside. Two stories. Might be a basement in there, too, given the way it seems set in to the incline. You notice those rough cut stone steps go all the way up to the front door. I had to add blackout curtains up there. A beautiful place, set apart from the world. The vampire's dress falls away then, and she has your undivided attention when she places it draped across a table by the poolside. This reveals a blood-red bikini underneath. It makes a beautiful crimson contrast with pale white skin in silver moonlight. The sheen of the clearing sticks to her. Quite different from the one-piece conservative swimsuit she wore the other day. Her chest is just barely concealed, less tightly bound than in the one-piece. The bottoms show her narrow hips and modest posterior. She welcomes your glance, posing. The blue tattoos on her arms glow in the moonlight, soaking it in, the source of her power. The sunglasses remain. So, join me for a swim? At that moment, the vampire touches one tattoo. You see her silver skin flush. She takes a deep, shuddering breath as her freckles appear more vividly on her body and her flesh rejuvenates. Her skin is human and alive. Her lips a more natural pink instead of blood red. She walks to the edge of the pool, kicks her shoes off nearby, sits and dangles her feet in the water. It's very warm. It'll loosen you right up. Then when we're done, I'll do something very special for you. She looks over her shoulder, removes the glasses. Her eyes are red now, normal and attractive, no magical qualities. Her right eye closes in a slow wink before she turns back to look out over the pool. I mean, something more special than showing you where I live so you could visit. You point out you don't have a swimsuit, since after all, this wasn't something she told you about. Yeah, I know. I wasn't sure if I was going to take you to dinner either, she explains. But, like, this is a better use of both of our time. More intimate. And now I'm moved out, so Mom will cut back on the garlic and you'll get normal meals. Maybe I'll come over for supper. A rain check on tonight's meal. You once again call attention to your lack of swimsuit. She dangles her dainty feet in the water, seems prepared to jump in. Well, that's okay. It's nothing I didn't see the other night when I... Well, anyway. She reaches behind her back and begins untying the bikini top. Turnabout's fair play. Come on in. The top falls away, revealing pert pink nipples on freckled breasts. They bounce slightly, sticking to the top until she pulls it away on purpose. The red top sits on the clean stones next to the pool. She moves her hands down, running them sensuously over her sides. You're already removing your comfortable clothes while you watch. Your eyes don't leave her form. She smiles. The fangs are still there. The bikini bottoms are pulled away with a tug of a string, left to fall with everything else. She slides into the pool right away, catch only a momentary glimpse, but she floats on top, nude. You see her breasts recessing almost somewhat into her body, as natural breasts do when one lays on their back. The nipples are pointed. She lets out a long, wonderfully deep sigh. Your clothes you throw lightly by hers. You see the neatly trimmed bit of pubic hair above her slightly parted vaginal lips. She's floating with arms and legs spread, letting you get a good look, but also maximizing her comfort. There are freckles on her belly as well. Instead of diving into the middle and floating like her, you elect to survey her just a little longer. There are steps leading down to the bottom of the pool, with a sturdy railing one can hold on to secure their descent. Your foot touches the water. It's wonderfully warm and soothing. The whole area is ideal. No one's going to find this place. This was one of several paths in the woods. Admittedly, you're not far off the path, so you could have found it even if you forgot which branch to take. But no one's out here, and this is her own backyard, as it were. Private property. Safe and comfortable. The water is warm, splashing around your ankles, moving. You step in, bringing you closer to where she floats. Her breasts look magnificent. Water splashes in her cleavage. Her neck leaned back, her legs parted. Quite the view. You find your eyes pinned to her as you step into the shallow end. The water's only waist deep even when you walk in a little ways. You notice there's a stone bench underwater against one wall. You can sit on it. So you do. Swimming would prevent you from simply taking in the ambience, the beautiful sight floating nearby, and the silvery glory of this private space. She turns in the water then, looks toward you, roguish grin with one fang showing, her red eyes half-lidded as water runs off her back, her breasts floating freely in the water, her graceful movement as she jets to the wall of the pool next to you. She clings to it as if hanging from the edge. You get a great look at the definition of her muscles. When she lets go, her hair wet and glistening, her shoulders are just above the water as she sits next to you. She slowly floats down to the little stone bench. Her eyes are closed and the water is even warmer than the air on this night. You do the same, simply existing for a little while. You know moonlight streams from overhead, a heated pool in the lap of luxury, a beautiful woman, her appearance embedded in your mind, for you to turn over and study and enjoy. How could it get better? The air above the water is warm as well, so your entire body is being soothed and rendered more relaxed, more in tune and aware of your environment. Ironically, here among the trees, beneath the lonely house on the hill, in a modern swimming pool. Nude, the water caressing your flesh, easing your musculature, bringing your mind to a contemplative place. Well, ironically, the inn you stayed at was a fake. But here you have found an authentic experience in the most unlikely place. That old-timey feel at the classic bed and breakfast. The true authentic experience is here. Sure, a little technology. Artificial pool made to look like it fits in this clearing. But everything else about this moment is genuine. The air touches your skin lightly. The trees around the clearing move in a light breeze, carrying the scent of late surviving flowers and the evergreens nearby. The hill has dead leaves up and down it, but the stone steps are rough carved and have been there a long time. They must have been put in by that couple that moved out. You see the details in your mind? Turn them over. Yes, this is the authentic, peaceful, shared experience. You feel something touching the very top of your head. Something warm and a little damp. Massaging your scalp in slow circles with her fingernails, the vampire has moved closer, resting her palm on the top of your head by letting herself float upward in the water. You know the huge moon is over and above you. A shared moment. A brief experience. An intimacy with minimal contact. A shared place. This creature who clearly values her own space, her own time apart, has welcomed you into her new home that she's building for herself when she abandoned the old one. A creature who can't keep people out, but can be kept out without an invitation. She invited you into her front yard for a leisurely swim. That was obviously not a decision she reached lightly, and represents a step outside her comfort zone. A small vulnerability. You remember what she said about how she'd let you come over for a massage at her clinic. You mention it. Ah, yeah, she replies. I think it'd be weird to take money from you since I know you outside of work, and we're sort of in this weird pseudo-sexual context here. So if you come by, someone else would do it. But I can still do it for free here at my place, since I want to. And maybe I'll add something special. Just don't tell anyone at my work that I gave it away for free. You're an exception, not the rule. She trails her hand down the back of your head to your neck, and begins a methodical one-handed rubbing of your shoulder muscles by way of demonstration, moving from one to the other, gauging your tension. She tilts your head back a little, steadying it with the rest of your body. And then encourages you to lean it over the edge of the pool right behind, lifting your body a little, letting you float. But just as quickly, she gently guides you to float back down. It feels soothing, and her hand is warm on you, different from when you shook it earlier. Of course, you don't need much of a massage just now, since the warm water alleviated your tension when you sat down in it. But this is nice. She speaks then. Come on, get up and come with me. She stands up on the bench, grabs the edge of the pool behind her, scoots her butt up onto it, a limber movement. This gives you a view of her musculature at work, her legs slightly spread, her breasts bouncing even more, when she begins the sudden movement, but then completes it gracefully. Water clings to her body, ideal droplets catching silver light from above. Her red eyes look down at you, grin even more sly than before, two fangs showing now. When she stands dripping on the stones by poolside, then trots across the nearby lawn, you follow with your gaze. Standing in the warm water, you turn and track her progress, seeing the muscles in her body moving and stirring, walking toward the stairs. Up the stairs, one step at a time on smooth stone. She retrieves something halfway up, additional towels. You watch the musculature of her lower body as she descends, reaching the bottom, and then spreads the towel on smooth stones near the poolside. If she were anyone else, you'd think that was a nice sunbathing spot. Obviously not for her, though. When you look closely at her thighs as she stands up from spreading the towel, you notice two raised bumps on the inner leg, like mosquito bites, but really very close together. She moves her other leg to obscure the spot when she sees you looking. Little shy about that. Come on, I'm going to give you a very special treatment. She bunches up a second towel, places it down for a pillow for your head to lay on, rolling it tightly, rolling another around it. She still looks shy, and is concealing her thigh. Not her dripping breasts or beautiful slit or her nice behind, but just the little bite mark between her legs. For once, she's on the back foot. Very cute. You are both nude, and she is smiling, even if she's concealing her assets a tiny amount. As the vampire is beautiful from every angle, especially with her skin, albeit temporarily, vibrant and freckled and alive. Any attempt at concealment does nothing to make you less happy. Indeed, it's even more alluring. And you do look, but you also move off the little bench in the pool, in the warm water, walking to the steps that lead up out of the pool to the ground, then proceeding toward her, water falling away from you, still warm in the air. You towel off, slowly. You inquire what the special part of this massage is. She explains. Well, if it's okay with you, I'll change back and I'll use my eyes to make you extra relaxed before I start, you know? Should be nice, enjoyable. It sounds interesting, and certainly if she wanted to hurt you, she could easily have done it. She must have the best of intentions, and she seems to take pride in her skills. Plus, you're already feeling sort of warm, relaxy, good from the swim, as it were, however brief. You walk over to the towel she's laid out. Kneel on it. You see her take her silver flask from the pile of clothes. This means she bends down, even wiggles her rear at you. She takes a slug from the flask, closes it, drops it, steadies herself against a bench tucked under a tree. The color fades from her skin. It's a miraculous thing to see, even though you've seen it happen both ways before. Her body is a pale, beautiful, silvered reflection. She's facing away from you, but she didn't bother to get her sunglasses before she drank. You get into position on the towel, laying down on your belly, her head against the comfortable and fluffy material. The color has faded, but she is still moving quickly enough to walk over. But that really isn't relevant by now, because purple light rebounds, streams away from her off the moisture on the bushes and trees that surround this hidden, beautiful grove. The light rebounds right into your eyes and right into your mind. Somehow, the knowledge arrives directly in you as you relax automatically, slumping into the comfy, fluffy towel. The light is telling you everything is okay. Everything about this situation is calming, perfect, acceptable. The purple light speaks that fact into your mind. Now, you're probably wondering how you're going to transfer my eyes if you're laying on your belly. You really weren't wondering that. You're wondering nothing at all. The light has already arrived and she may not have noticed. She's leaning down and rooting through the bag near her clothes. Her eyes, which are uncovered with the shades, are beaming tons of that purple light into the area, as if it were spilling out of her in a tide. Tide of relaxation and drifting, drowsy sleep. Previously, you'd only seen them briefly, and she was always trying to hide them. When she opens them wide, the purple light just pours like a tide, filling the silvery space with something more. It clings to things, sticky and sleepy. Certainly it sticks to the inside of your head with warm, fluffy reassurance. Purple light enters through your eyes, takes up soothing residence in your brain. Yet you aren't even making direct contact with her eyes yet. Imagine how powerful this creature's influence would be if you were. How soothing. Already your muscles are relaxing into a place as comforting, loosening, and perfect as the warmth of the heated pool. More and more you don't even notice you're laying out on a flat, smooth surface. You're floating on the fluffy towel instead. All is peaceful, warm, good. Then she makes it even better. You're vaguely aware, even as still and deep as you are feeling, that drifting in the lee of the colors, vaguely aware of her approaching you with something in her hand. But the colors are more. No, the colors are the most important. There are darker purples under stones and in the shade of tree trunks. There are lighter colors, pinks and pale lilac, in the air and in patches of moonlight. You are still aroused. She's very sexy after all, and positive feelings toward her abound. But there's an undercurrent of pure relaxation, a consistent feeling, a single tone, which resolves into the sweet singing of your brain and muscles, harmoniously surrendering. She sets a mirror down in front of you, where your eyes can see, resting as you are, face down on a fluffy towel. You see nothing reflected in it, not even the hand which placed it. Turns out she really is invisible in mirrors when she's like this. When her body is alive, you know from the bathroom mirror at your lodgings that she's visible. But now, with her pale skin beautiful and silver in the descending moonlight, and the purple light taking you to a deeper place, she cannot be seen in the reflective surface, but the light can. The mirror just makes it so much prettier, so much more complete, splitting the arcs of purple light, jetting from her uncovered eyes into brilliant prisms. The sticky brilliance seems to bounce off the mirror, right into your eyes. As you look at the mirror, you find yourself focusing on your own eyes, which are indeed glowing purple with the absorbed, sleepy, drowsy, controlling influence, a feedback loop of pleasure, relaxation, goodness. And then she moves over you, resting her skin against your back, sitting there and just placing her hands on the small of your back and beginning to rub on the left and then the right. The insistent pressure enters your sensitized, tranced, relaxed system, and the purple light reassures you everything's all right. At that point, you are dimly aware of her little form sitting on your back. She's still nude, and her thighs brush against you. She looms over you, her fingers touch you, they feel cool. Hot, purple light pouring honeyed over your mind. It sends you to good places within. You're more aware of everything, including sensitivity and sensation on your skin. So her body against you at all, even cool and probing above you, is enough to make you shiver in a way having nothing to do with temperature. I'm going to begin a massage now. It may be uncomfortable at times, so let me know if it's too much or too intense. You internalize her statement as a command, and the small, subconscious, drifty, purple light-bathed part of you knows that if anything she does makes you uncomfortable, you'll tell her so she can change what she's doing. And that's a bit reassuring. The changes would happen automatically, moving from one warm touch to another. You're already imagining it. And your purple light-coated mind is already making the fantasy a little more intense. If even the air against you feels good, then her actual touch is even better. nothing but warm, pleasant feelings toward the warm beginnings of stimulation from cool, precise hands that have only your best interests in mind. And now that you're in a deep place, where everything's more sensitive and soothed than normal, where your mind's more accessible, and even the movement of air over your skin is soothing, hands come down from above and make your enjoyment even better. Just let your mind be deluged away in a honeyed coating, taken to a place where you can enjoy what follows. At first, the hands begin with basic limbering, taking your neck and rubbing it, extending first one arm, moving and turning it, holding the shoulder and applying warm exploratory pleasure. Hands in tune with your mind, every movement seeming anticipated, you filling in the blanks dreamlike afterward, thinking, yes, that was exactly the touch I needed at that moment. How much of this is just because you are deep and drifting and pleasured, it's hard to tell. But what's wonderful is then hearing in your mind the squeezing of massage oil onto hands that rub together, you laying on as comfortable a surface as you could imagine, drifting on a cloud, feeling the hands come down and begin to use light friction, a pressing movement, long gliding from the top of your back to the bottom, just spreading a warm oil there that soaks into your musculature. You visualize how shined and pleasured everything must be, how your muscles must be easy, drifty, pleasant, wonderful. And that's all right. In this place and time, in this space, set apart and authentically part of you, where you will remember every little detail because of just how striking it is. You let your body remember, your mind explore, everything about you attuned to the feeling of hands that now, starting at the small of your back, and moving in the direction of the blood flow, press down and move in long, slow motions, pressing down at the small of your back, pushing upward as if kneading your flesh toward the top, using thumbs, palms, fingers, pushing in a gentle way the whole of the hand, maintaining contact at all times. Indeed, when those smoothly massaging hands reach the top of your back, they move to the right and left, and keeping bare, gentle contact, slide down without applying pressure until they loop around back to the small of your back. Pressure is only applied, moving up to the shoulder and neck area, pushing your skin, your tension, everything forward gently, and then trailing down your sides until the hands resume from their start position at the small of your back. It's the simple, classical, prototypical movement you think of when you imagine someone massaging a relaxed, excellent, slow massage that creeps into you through your back muscles, moving across the entire back from the small up to the back of your neck and your shoulders, looping around to the right and left. The pressure is warming the back muscles. It's very light right now, but you can feel tension that you carry there. From times you unthinkingly get into an uncomfortable sitting position, but you're too focused on something to do otherwise. And because your skin is more sensitive than usual, deep and tranced and open and pliable and ready as you are, it's more sensitive, and the sensation goes deeper. It's more efficient than any normal massage. Upward toward the heart in the direction of blood flow from the small of your back, then maintaining contact without applying pressure, the hands scoot back down. This technique just makes you feel open and warm. Your breathing deepens, everything is more relaxed, and it lends you confidence in the hands that caress. Then, the movement continues with more moderate pressure. Now that the surface tension has been pushed out of you, cycled along your back to make you more relaxed and opened up, moderate pressure commences. Medium, just warming you up and getting you ready. You know this is just the start, and that excites you even as your relaxed state takes you to a deep place where all tension can fall away. Just the relaxation of deep trancey bliss might be enough, but the hands really help. Then, the palm of a hand kneading and rolling and pressing, pushing against your back lightly. You feel the way that the movement from behind you is professional and light, pushing short circular strokes on your back muscles to the right of center, slow circling pressure, your shoulder, slow kneading, pressing, helping you sink and relax in the sensation. Then the pressure moves closer to your core, down to the small of your back, pushing and moving, circulation improving. You feel invigorated and improved just by the closeness, just by the sensation being pressed into you by someone who's exploring your back, learning where you carry your tension, tracking down every tense spot and seeming to predict that you need a warm pressing movement or another long stroke from the base of your back upward. Enough to make you feel more authentically in the moment, more relaxed than you were. And now the circular massaging, kneading movement, a little more pressure than when you were being pressed from the base of your back upward. These movements come all over the place, wherever those hands find tension. Circular, shifting, pressing, the circulation improves, light to medium pressure, different places. Every time the tension dissolves, because your body and mind know what's expected. Know the experience. Know the warmth that comes from within. Then, gently, with relaxed wrists, you feel as the hands begin to tap percussively, selecting points to the left and right of the middle of your back, and just making the tissue compress by patting at it with the heels of those hands, just tapping away, making your flesh feel wonderfully limbered up, wonderfully relaxed, constant percussive patter. And it's good because then the hands, broad, they're really all you're aware of. You've faded to your honeyed mind and your sensitive skin, every momentary sensation deluging you with a pleasured relaxation you know you'll remember. Anchoring this deep place to a sense of pleasured massage. Then the hands just grip the musculature, now made looser and more gentle by percussive tapping, and begin massaging in a pressured, twisting, lifting motion that just seems to limber up your muscles in the best way. Then using thumbs, the hands rub in a fanning motion that seems to spread all the tension from the middle of your back to the edges, and then encourage it to leave your body. leaving you soothed. All these movements leave your body tension-free, free of so many things, free and deep and pleasured. Gently, the hands grasp the right and left side of your body, and where the motion a moment ago was to use thumbs to push the pleasure out into you, push the tension to the edges, now gripping the left and right side of your body and just rubbing your side muscles upward toward your back, pushing the tension away, leaving you sighing in the lee of a low-down, good feeling that runs throughout all of you. It's just left you so very relaxed, peaceful, a calming, professional feeling, a massage and a limbering. And since you cherish the pleasure that comes of those hands even now rubbing from the small of your back up to your shoulders, you might find yourself sitting with a little more attention to your posture, trying to keep your back in good shape now that you've gone to the trouble of sliding deep and insistent professional hands have explored, found the spots your tension's kept, rubbed it to the very edges, and left you blankly drifting, far more limber, muscles loose, relaxed, and ready. And whenever you feel this same kind of deep, peaceful, authentic sensation from meditating, staring, and feeling influence throughout you, you might remember the pleasured rub, the massage, the sinking sensation. And that'll be for the best. Hands coming from behind, deftly, altruistically, encouragingly, massaging tension away, knowing your body, knowing just how much pressure and pleasure and sensation you could stand because of those first exploratory touches, leaving you even now breathing deep, drifting blank and hazy, experiencing every moment as a thing of pleasure, the hands at the small of your back, applying just enough pressure to push the tension out, sliding up your back to the top, spreading a smoothing, lubricating oil that soaks in and helps limber your muscles. And then when reaching your shoulders, the hands knuckle around and just rub them, thumbs and forefingers working to roll the musculature and expose any tension beneath, which then, as the hands glide along your sides back to the small of your back, that tension might be rubbed away by circular, stronger movements that try to push it to the edge of your body and then beyond. The tension leaving your body, just as it did when you sank deep, when you felt things flow over your mind, honeyed and perfect. All of it together makes for an invigorating and memorable feeling, which will draw you right back here. When you feel the need to limber up, undoubtedly you'll remember beyond this one occasion. Remember happily and roll your shoulders and pay attention to how you're sitting. A holistically good-for-you experience, flowing from your mind, making your skin more sensitive, so when the hands touch you, they carry away all tension, all reserve, and leave a body brought to its most perfectly limbered, relaxed, tension-freed, mentally freed, sinking state. And even as things go beyond, you feel like you want it to continue, though knowing eventually it must end, leaving you restored, invigorated, reunited with your body, and eventually able to move, but maybe move freely with wonderful, warm pleasure tingles flowing through you. And that'd be a good way to proceed. A good addition, part of what you're here for, the authenticity of the experience, but also to relax. Relaxation's important, and your readied, honeyed mind is very willing to accept a sensation which is akin to a truly relaxing, wonderful addition to yourself. And that's where you are, adding on, progressing forward, and then just drifting in that state. She rises from on top of you, eventually, and the purple light fades as the memory of her professional, precise touch stays. When she closes her eyes and gropes toward the pile of clothes for her glasses, you once more regain something like movement. Problem being, she's done too good of a job. In the deep, trancy place you were in, you were too relaxed. Things are hazy and you're just so relaxed that you drift away. That place, that time, that silvered clearing, embedded in your mind along with the surefire knowledge that you got a really good massage, and the memory of how good it felt to be under the influence of her invisible gaze in that mirror. Even as the purple light filters from your consciousness, you still feel drowsy, drifty. Your eyes close. You feel yourself fading away. There's a sensation of motion and a warmth around your thighs. When your eyes open again, you have the sense time has passed. You're in a bed. Your bed at the lodging, in fact, comfortably laying there. You feel all right. Better than all right, in fact. Warm and soothed, and your muscles are all relaxed beyond reckoning. You remember the intimate way she perched on your back, rubbed all your cares and concerns away. The way you were so deep and sleepy in honeyed purple light that it felt way better than normal. She must have carried you back, or maybe you were so drowsy in the purple light that you came here without remembering. You're clothed, at least, but you feel something strange, a slight tingling on your inner thigh. You raise the blankets and look down, pulling your pants out of the way, running a hand over the spot. Did she? No, nothing raised, no bumps, just something sticky, slightly tacky to the touch. In the light, when you pull the blankets aside, you see a single perfect pair of lips, a lip print in purple lipstick, right on your inner thigh where the bumps on her body were, written in the same lipstick running down your leg. Let's do it again soon. You sigh at the audacity of her. Consider that you're going to run a shower and have a shiver that has nothing to do with feet for a little while.